kids, which I don't have any, my future kids, learn from a white person who wanted to learn and wanted to understand the culture later on than someone who wasn't around or wasn't, you know, practicing the culture before or didn't have any intentions of teaching it right. That's just, you know, that's the way that I look at it. And I really do appreciate every teacher there at Butte who I've had. They've always been respectful, and they've always, you know, if they've said something and they've seen my face like, maybe, they always come to me afterwards and they'll tell me, you know, like, this is where we got this from. Do you know this person, or have you read this book before? And so then I go back and I have to, you know, teach myself because I don't know everything. So
I think the person that people most know about in schools around here is Ishi, and we know the trails named after him and that kind of thing. So, but do people know the name of his tribe? Was he Maidu?
Yahi.
He was Yahi.
Mm-hmm.
Glenda, why don't we go to you? This is Glenda Nelson, who we're really honored to have as tribal chief, and thank you very much. And you just came back from an airplane ride, right?
I did, and I apologize for being late. But,
oh, don't. We're glad you're here. About four fingers from the mic.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I'm happy to be here.
Tell us what your role is. What do you do as tribal elder?
Actually, I've been the tribal chairwoman for our tribe for the last 17 years.
Wow.
But I think that here in California especially, I was raised by my elders. Our tribe has always been federally recognized since 1915, and my great-great-grandmother actually hid in caves here and didn't participate in the walks or anything.
Mm.
But, you know, there were a lot of people that walked back, and they built fires on Table Mountain. And I think that, you know, a lot of the issues here, we were all pretty much assimilated. But we have a lot of tribal members now that are learning and making it a priority in their lives to learn their cultures. We have a lot of younger people that are really making a difference. A lot of our customs and practices were not written down, and they were taught from our elders. But a lot of the people, and I can only speak on behalf of the Maido culture, as tribes, we were separated by rivers. So we are actually on the Feather River, and so it is a different culture and different, I think, a different aspect at looking at things. The gold rush here really took a lot of our people away. Mm. A lot of our people were slaughtered. A lot of the Native Americans in this area have, especially the women, I think, have been taught to stand up for their sovereign rights. And today we have that privilege, and we have a lot of knowledge. I think the younger generation is doing a wonderful job. And Lethe is one of our star pupils here. She participates in many, many different things. And like she said, you know, we do have different cultures. I actually was raised a little bit differently than Lethe was.
How were you raised?
I was raised by my grandmother.
Mm.
And so I was raised by the elders, and we were taught the Maidu language, and we were taught our customs and practices. But we didn't, some of the things we weren't taught. And the reason is because in our culture, if you don't know right from wrong and you do wrong, you're held accountable for it. And so sometimes we weren't taught everything. You know, there was a lot of different cultural Native American religion type things. But I've learned that I know a lot more than what I thought I knew. You know, you always think that everybody else knows more. But I think that we as Native American people are really advocating for our sovereign rights. We're working with the Indian Health Service, I saw that, and our younger generation is really being taught a lot. We have dictionaries for our language now that we didn't have in writing before. As far as Chico State is concerned, Dorothy Morehard Hill did a lot of stuff back in the early 60s and the 50s, and she visited our tribes, and there's a lot that she did, and I'm thankful that she did a lot of that stuff, because we're using a lot of that today.
She wrote it down.
Was it's all at Chico State. Yes, it's all at Chico State University, and there's actual pictures and CDs of elders and a lot of different nations. I think that she traveled quite a bit. I know that she went to Berry Creek, she went to Feather Falls, she went to Enterprise, and in California, you know, it wasn't until the early 1900s that we received what they call the Landless Homeless Indians Act, and that's where we received rancherias. A lot of people don't realize that a rancheria is pretty much a small reservation, but up here in California, in our area, John Terrell came, and he walked the area. And if they found water on 40 acres, they gave that land to the natives living in that area. And that's why you have Redding Rancheria, Auburn Rancheria, Enterprise. Enterprise is at the bottom of Lake Orville. It was a town. Moortown Rancheria is actually in Moortown, but then they changed the name to Feather Falls. But that's why you have rancherias in this area. I think that our local politicians really knew how to enslave Native Americans by the time that they got to California. And none of our treaties were ratified in California. Although, you know, there are a lot of things that today the Congress of the United States of America has a trust responsibility pursuant to the treaties to provide medical care to all of the federally recognized tribes. Now, there's like 573 tribes in the United States, but it's always never really been fully funded. We have a lot of tribal leaders that work with the Indian Health Service area, and they're pretty much, I'd say, an organization that helps facilitate between Congress and the tribes, and they identify the needs, or they try to, based upon the data that they receive from your local tribal clinics. In California, we do not have a Native American hospital. And you would think of all the Native Americans that we have here that there would be a hospital, but we have clinics, and most tribal leaders are advocating for a hospital. Right now, today, what we've put a lot of effort into a regional youth treatment center, and we have one being built today down at the old DQ University.
Where is that?
It is right outside of Davis.
Oh.
It is being constructed right now. We plan to open this year. But, you know, it really shows how long things take. I think that Ronald Reagan was the president that approved the Regional Youth Treatment Center for Northern California. Hmm. And look at where we're at today, and we're just getting it built.
I just posted that 2009, we had Butte County supervisors, Butte County's citizens came in to dispute. They had $17 million for a facility here in Oroville, and it was going to employ up to 70 people and $4 million a year budget to sustain it. And
it was a regional youth treatment center, and it's for our children.
For
what's
addiction.
Happening
They
for all different levels of addiction, behavioral health, mental health. Mm. And what has happened with it is right now, as clinics, what we have to do is we have to refer our young people out to different states to receive this type of care. So we've been working diligently to have our own regional youth treatment center. And like I said, Ronald Reagan actually approved one for Southern California and Northern California. The Southern California one has been up for almost a year now, and the Northern California one is built, but it was a controversy. They looked at different parcels of land in Butte County, and you're always going to have controversy. And it was, we decided that DQ University was already land that had a Native American university on it at one time, and it was already land that was in trust, and putting land in trust is a big issue for any local residents. That's the same issue that we have today as Indian people. The land that we own, our rancherias and other lands, are not part of the state of California. They are federal lands.
That's why we can have a casino
is because it doesn't belong to the state of California. It's federal land. And anytime you're trying to put any land into trust for hospitals, for clinics, for gaming, for any, for housing, the controversy is that you're taking it out of the ownership of the state of California. Mm. You're not going to pay taxes on it. That's one of the big issues. Mm. But the actual profits of having a land into trust and what it can do for actually even our clinics. Our clinics aren't limited to just Native American people.
Yeah,
anybody and their brother can go. And I am actually the vice chair of our health clinic in Oroville, and we have one in Yuba City also. The clinics are absolutely wonderful. I think they are extremely well run. They're clean. Northern Valley has their clinics over here, and we provide a level of service, I think, that can compete with any of the local hospitals.
The county doesn't have to put any money into that, do they?
That is the trust responsibility of the Congress of the United States of America, is to take care of people. What happens if you have people that are not Native that go to the clinics? Then we're like any other facility. We bill their insurance. Mm-hmm. We are one provider of Medi-Cal, which I think is a wonderful, you know, people that are lower income on Medi-Cal have a hard time finding a physician that will take care of their needs. And we as clinics, we accept Medi-Cal. We provide a quality service to those individuals. And I just think it's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for all people. But what happens is we don't have the funding that we need. That's why I brought up the hospitals. You know, it'd be mm-hmm. nice to have a hospital in California for Native Americans. And if we had one that was centrally located, because we're having to refer out. So if our clinic doesn't provide the service, say heart surgery, then we have to refer that service out to a local physician. And what happens is that uses what they call our PRC dollars, and that those are third-party funds that we have to cover to provide those services to our people, and mm-hmm. they're very limited. But, you know, that's really a win-win that's been happening. I think the clinics have just done an exceptional job of providing services.
Could you say a little bit in Maidu? Would you feel comfortable for people who haven't heard the language?
I'm not fluent in Maidu. You know, I could say, hey, Tanani. Hey, Tanani. I said, how are you? And she said, I am fine.
Good. Let's change the subject for a second. Don, your specialty is in fire management and management of the landscape. What can we learn from Native American practices in terms of how we don't have campfire destroying 80%, 90% of paradise? What can we learn?
Well, I think the biggest opportunity to learn is coming back to what we have in our stories about the use of fire. And, you know, in the old days, we always would burn to maintain the landscape for water, for travel corridors, for plants and animals and all those benefits. And
Was it seasonal? Autumn or rainy season?
Depends on where you're at. So certain tribes have rules that they won't burn under certain conditions. But if you think about all the series of the months and you're reading the landscape and reading the seasons, there's something that could be burned perhaps throughout the seasons. And so if you're reading the landscape and you're seeing, okay, like right now up in Forest Ranch area where I live, you know, we've got manzanitas that are in flower. So if we're paying attention to that, that tells us that the fuel moisture is high, and we might be able to burn in those places, provided we don't have certain birds nesting on the ground or things like that. We might be able to burn in those shrub communities. So if we think about putting fire on the landscape and using that as a tool, we're able to protect our places, to manage and steward our resources, and by doing that, it creates areas that fire is going to be more resistant to be able to go into. It makes the landscape more resilient to fire. And I think about what we've been missing in our region throughout the state and throughout much of the West over really the last, you know, for sure the last 100 plus years with fire suppression policies, but even going back even further in some cases, like along the coast with early Spanish colonial law, is the use of fire. And so some of this fire that we're seeing, not only is it related to, say, climate change and those impacts, but it's the accumulation of fuels within the landscape. And so when fires are happening, they could perhaps be different. We could mitigate that with the fires that you know we know have worked in the past. That's why our ancestors did it. When we go through drought periods, those fires might be larger. When we go through wetter periods, maybe we're not able to burn those years. But we know, based off of multiple sources of evidence, aside from our own knowledge of these systems, but we look at the paleoecology, you know, pollen and charcoal sediments in lakes, looking at tree rings, that our fires were very effective at minimizing the extent of spread of these types of fires. And so that, in relationship to, say, forest development, when we don't have fires in, say, for the last 120 years or so, in some areas, like where I live in Forest Ranch, there hasn't been a fire, and you know, a map fire in the last 120 years. Why is that? Well, it's partly because of the weather systems, the rain. But one of the impacts of not having those fires in that landscape is that we have more trees, right? So with more trees, there's more competition for the water, more drought stress perhaps, and that creates a situation where a fire could happen. So then what happens once that fire happens and you have fuels on the ground, dead trees, more biomass, faster wind spread, speed through those areas, and if you have an ignition, perhaps, and wind combination, you know, a quick acceleration of that fire. And that's why using fire is a really important piece of that.
But, you know, Trump said that the way to handle it is to rake the forests like the Norwegians do.
Mm. Yeah, right, right.
Norwegian woods.
Right. Well, I guess my smart aleck response to that is that I rake my forest with fire.
Oh, good.
You know, that's something that I as a landowner practice, and that's something that tribally, you know, I try very hard to promote that through the Water Commission, through my work at the university. I promote that. The discussion of trust responsibility extends to fire. While we don't have treaty tribes in the state of California, there are specific rights that are there inherent to the illegal taking of California that the federal government still recognizes they have responsibility to. And that is that because we never gave up our rights to the land, the transient resources, so to speak, the water, the animals, and the plants that are on the land are still ours. And that gives the government a responsibility to have to help us to steward those lands throughout our ancestral territories.
The feds recognize that?
The feds do recognize that, and even to some extent the state does. Federal law and state law actually parallel each other in that respect.
Not just in rancherias.
Not just on rancherias. And so there's a huge opportunity that's there for partnerships, if you want to think about it that way, for tribal people to be working with the agencies, or agencies should be supporting what tribes want in their ancestral areas. And there's a way to get this done, right? I think there's a missed opportunity that's been going on for way too long. I mean, I'm reading a book right now that kind of is alluding to people talking about these very things going back to the 40s and 50s when they realized, hey, wait, our fire suppression policy is not working too well here in California. And now we're, you know, 60, 70 years out from it, and it's just getting worse. We need to get back to it, and particularly I see that opportunity for tribes to reassert their right to burn as a way to do that.
Mm. Have you been involved in Native American Studies courses at Chico State?
Not so much. I teach a course on the American West. That's a GE course, a general education course at Chico State in the geography department. It's actually one of the courses I was hired to teach, and I teach a lot about our culture, cultural connections to the landscape of the West. I mean, it's obviously the West. We look at it in many ways, from north to south, into Mexico, up into the Arctic, and, you know, from the Mississippi River out to the ocean. There's lots of different ways to look at that. But no, not so much in terms of development of those courses.
We need to let people know that you're listening to Ask Dr. Gale on KZFR-FM, and our panel is talking about Native American issues. And we want to thank the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by the Chico Paper Company, a family-owned cornerstone of downtown Chico for over 40 years, located at 4th and Broadway, right below the studio. Chico Paper Company features an on-site custom framing studio and art gallery showing the largest selection of local and regional artists. Chico Paper Company can be reached by calling 891-0900 or at chicopapercompany.com. Ask Dr. Gale is also brought to you by the 32nd Annual Spring Chico Home and Garden Show at the Silver Dollar Fairgrounds, April 13th and 14th from 10 to 5. You'll find everything you need for your home and yard, the gift and gourmet hall, a flower show, and even tiny homes to explore. For more information, visit chicohomeshow.com. The Chico Spring Home and Garden Show is Saturday and Sunday, April 13 and 14, at the Silver Dollar Fairgrounds in Chico. So, again, you're listening to KZFR-FM and listener-supported radio. Allie, I know that you were helpful in designing the new Native American minor at Chico State, and they're looking for a visiting professor to teach some of the new courses. What were you eager for to have emphasized or be part of that minor?
My experience with working with the geography department through a program called Kids in Creeks, it was an outdoor education program. That was kind of what got me to looking at curriculum changes within the community. I was more looking at something for the school district, but I found that that there was a lot of opposition still from a lot of, I would say, curriculum protectors at the school district. They really didn't want to.
Interesting.
They really had an idea about John Bitt and Annie Bidwell and the curriculums they had of the natives in this area from Feather River to Sacramento River. They really didn't really want to trust one or two sources, so they just dropped the project altogether. So Chico State was a lot more open.
Wait, are you saying that the secondary and primary school district in Chico Unified doesn't include a curriculum about Native Americans?
Their curriculum is very outdated, and it's not updated with information that we all know today, and we share this information as neighbors and tribes, that that information was collectively put together. So what they have is something that was based on an old idea of who we were here from non-natives developing that curriculum.
So what was that old idea? Acorns.
I mean, just to give you an example so that you would understand, they had put into the curriculum that Annie Bidwell taught the Bidwell Indians how to cook, clean, and take care of their house. So, and make dresses.
Oh, wow.
So this is a very ethnocentric, elitist, a lot of snobbery written into this and colonizing attitudes that are still written into the curriculum. And I was able to talk to Chico State, and the conversation was not just me, it was a whole panel of community members that had input on these curriculum changes. So I was just one of the voices. There was a lot of people involved in that. And and basically it was actually to add some of the elements of traditional land practices to that, so that it wasn't just about history and archaeology and the past, but that we could add something current to that curriculum.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Nelson, what if you were designing curriculum for school kids, what would you want to make sure was in it? And what do you know about what is being taught in schools? She laughs.
Actually, as a business manager for two public schools for 20 years, along with being the chairperson of the tribe, and I can tell you that the mountainous schools and where I was a business manager was in Berry Creek and Feather Falls. And we had some great curriculum. We had we brought a lot of people up from our tribes, and we taught the kids a lot. And I think that the schools are very open to it, but they have to be, you know, you have your parent-teacher associations, and you have all, and it depends on the community. In mountainous communities where you have a smaller enrollment of children, and you have actively involved Native Americans, you really do get a lot more there, and we did. And when you have tribal gaming and you have those facilities donating funds to fund those type of activities, it makes a big difference. In the past, they had the Johnson O'Malley. And Johnson O'Malley were funds that pretty much were given to public schools to have an elder come in and tell stories and do different things. And then they actually got rid of Johnson O'Malley because they didn't think that the correct amount of data was there to support the funding. And then they decided that it was, and they restored Johnson O'Malley. But, you know, that's just what we find, I think, in California is it's always about the state legislature. It's about the bills and the politicians and what they're trying to get through, and you have a lot of people that are there with a lot of the right reasons, but whenever bills get passed, there's a lot attached to them. There's a lot of strings in there. And so I think that we're doing better, and we're getting there. I think that the local tribes are doing better by having people and different tribal affiliates go out and bring this knowledge to the local schools. One of the things that came out of my experiences being involved with the schools is the three federally recognized tribes in Oroville, which is Berry Creek, Moortown, and Enterprise. We actually entered into an MOU with Chico State and Butte College, and we have what they call Epiconi Early College. It's been up and running for about 7 years, I think, now. And the whole goal and objective there is to provide a different type of curriculum and to, at, you know, the state standards. And there's a lot with the standards that you have to provide.
So are you saying that schools throughout California should and are able to include a more update curriculum about Native Americans?
I think that the Native American tribes are pretty much taking a leadership role there. The Klamath Falls Early College was the first one, and that's what Epiconi was structured after. And so you have people that are, in today's atmosphere, you're getting a lot of charter schools, and you're getting a lot of people that are moving away from public education. You're doing the same thing in your Native American studies. There's a lot of tribes that are teaching. I know Yochudehi has their own college, or not college, but their own school, and they do a wonderful job. They actually, when I went out there and spent a while, they were actually using the Apple iPods, and they were teaching their language with it. And so they're using the latest technology, and they're able to bring back their language and do things. So there's a lot of really bright people that are out there that are identifying different solutions. And not to say that anything is perfect. I think that we have a lot of people that are working at the educational level, and there's a lot of tribal leaders that are joining forces to identify different options that are available to our Native American families. And what we did is we created an early college. It's open to all ethnic groups, but today the school is full. You can't even get in.
Is it a high school?
It's a early college. It's from kindergarten through 12th grade. Oh. And what it is that the older students are able to have college courses that go to Chico State and go to Butte College. It's the same thing with Butte. Butte is a community college, but you're able to take transferable units that transfer over to Chico State. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. They can take classes at Epiconti that will transfer over to Chico State and that will transfer over to Butte College. And there is a mentorship there that helps the kids. What happens with Native American kids, and this is another, I mean, we could talk all day about this stuff, but one of the things is that as tribal people, we really encourage education, but few Native Americans really make it through those educational levels. And I think a lot of that is because they don't have five or six generations of college graduates. You know, they're out there pioneering this themselves. And so we're trying to give them the tools they need to succeed. And we have some Native Americans that are brain surgeons now. You know, we have Native Americans that are, you know, like Chairman Ramos that's elected to the state legislature. And we have Native American women back in Congress. But
Gloria Steinem's heroine is... Thelma Mankiller. I'm not sure that's her first name.
Yeah.
But because she's such a great leader.
Right.
She should be president.
Yes. We are finally getting there. But, you know, it's this generation here that we're finally getting there. And they're all out there and they're all, you know, mentoring and leading these battles. And, you know, they're great mentors for our younger generation. So that is what's really happening. And those are just wonderful, you know, wonderful things that are going on.
Lethe, do you think maybe you'll be a person with your anthropology degree to integrate these kind of information that we need into the school system?
I think a lot of people have a lot of expectations for me at this point. You know, from my teachers at the college, from the tribal leaders that I've been working with. I've been working with the tribe for the last 2.5 years as their environmental technician. So I haven't decided what I'm doing with anthropology yet. I love everything about anthropology right now. So I think this in the spring, once I get, you know, my toes dipped in the anthropology at Chico State and I find a place, I'm definitely bringing it back to my tribe. That's my ultimate goal. Whatever I end up doing, whether it's archaeology, you know, anything like that, I would love to be out there representing for my tribe and bringing something back once I'm finished with school. So hopefully it does have something to do with curriculum one day, but I never know because I always change my mind on things. So,
well, as you say, you're young. You have time.
Yes.
So, Allie, could you just say a word about your art? Because people might want to see it.
Okay, yeah. So, I have been doing art for most of my life. And recently, I've been doing a lot more and in the community. So, I will be having, I will be releasing a date that I will have a show at the Blackbird Cafe in June. And I will have some pieces for sale. But I also have, I'm doing a 110-foot mural piece on 3rd and Cedar. And that is a village scene. It's got a roundhouse with some of the Kumi, what are traditional, what would we say, Maidu, Machupta, Kankawi, Kumi, what the village may look like.
Wow.
So this is
to... Do you need people to help you?
No, I'm all good.
A big mural seems very ambitious.
That big A word. I'm good. I think that it's important that the design is put down. So once I get to a point, there will be some help with some logistics of it. But I work really fast, and I've got this down. It is a reflection of history here that is missing. We have way too much colonizing pictures, and we need some decolonizing going on.
That is so true. It bothers me whenever I see Annie and John all over town, and like, who was here first? Stay tuned for Peanut Butter and Jelly Time with Sandra. Here she is. Take it away.
It's peanut butter jelly time. Peanut butter jelly time.
Peanut butter jelly time.
Baseball bat. Peanut butter jelly, peanut butter jelly, peanut butter jelly with a
But
Gloria Steinem's heroine is Velma Mankiller. I'm not sure that's her first name.
Yeah.
But she's such a great leader.
Right.
She should be president.
Yes. We are finally getting there. But, you know, it's this generation here that we're finally getting there. And they're all out there, and they're all, you know, mentoring and leading these battles. And, you know, they're great mentors for our younger generation. So that is what's really happening. And those are just wonderful, you know, wonderful things that are going on.
Lethe, do you think maybe you'll be a person with your anthropology degree to integrate these kind of information that we need into the school system?
I think a lot of people have a lot of expectations for me at this point. You know, from my teachers at the college, from the tribal leaders that I've been working with. I've been working with the tribe for the last 2.5 years as their environmental technician. So I haven't decided what I'm doing with anthropology yet. I love everything about anthropology right now, so I think this in the spring, once I get, you know, my toes dipped in the anthropology at Chico State and I find a place, I'm definitely bringing it back to my tribe. That's my ultimate goal, whatever I end up doing, whether it's archaeology, you know, anything like that. I would love to be out there representing for my tribe and bringing something back once I'm finished with school. So hopefully it does have something to do with curriculum one day, but I never know because I always change my mind on things. So,
well, as you say, you're young, you have time.
Yes.
So Allie, could you just say a word about your art, because people might want to see it?
Okay. Yeah, so I have been doing art for most of my life. And recently, I've been doing a lot more and in the community. So I will be having, I will be releasing a date that I will have a show at the Blackbird Cafe in June, and I will have some pieces for sale. But I also have, I'm doing a 110-foot mural piece on 3rd and Cedar, and that is a village scene. It's got a roundhouse with some of the Kumi, what are traditional, what we say, Maidu, Machupta, Kankawi, Kumi, what the village may look like.
Wow.
So this is
to... Do you need people to help you?
No, I'm on good.
A big mural seems very ambitious.
That big A word. No, I'm good. I think that it's important that the design is put down. So once I get to a point, there will be some help with some logistics of it. But I work really fast, and I've got this down. It is a reflection of history here that is missing. We have way too much colonizing pictures, and we need some decolonizing going on.
That is so true. It bothers me whenever I see Annie and John all over town, and like, who was here first? Stay tuned for Peanut Butter and Jelly Time with Sandra. Here she is. Take it away.
It's peanut butter jelly time. Peanut butter jelly time.
Peanut butter jelly time.
Baseball bat. Peanut butter jelly, peanut butter jelly, peanut butter jelly with a baseball bat. Way up, way up, way up, way up. Now there you go, there you go, there you go, there you go.
Peanut butter jelly. Baseball bat.
Do the peanut butter jelly, peanut butter jelly, peanut butter jelly with a baseball bat.
Now tick tack toe, tick tack toe,
let's go.
Tick tack toe,
you got it.
Tick tack toe,
let's ride.
Way up, way up, way up, way up.
Now there you go, there you go, there you go, there you go.
Peanut butter jelly.
Peanut butter jelly with a baseball bat.
Peanut butter jelly, peanut butter jelly, peanut butter jelly with a baseball bat.
Now freeze.
You are listening to FM 90.1, KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills and beyond. This is Peanut Butter Jelly Time, and this is your Groovy Grandma. And hopefully, well, the weather's getting better and the sun's setting later, so Groovy Grandma Leslie will come visit us soon. Do not touch that, my love. Okay, so we don't have books today, so we're just going to kind of do a mishmash of music. So Mila picked this one out. Let's see. It's a Dora. It's a Dora CD. All right. Thanks for tuning in.
Hey, I see another animal here on the farm. It's old McDonald's dog. I think Tango is his name of. What song can we sing as we pass by him?
Bingo!
B-I-N-G-O! Buena idea! Let's sing Bingo! Yeah.
There was a farmer had a dog and Bingo was his name-o. B-I-N-G-O! 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 And Bingo was his name-o.
Sunshiny day. shiny day.
Here's a happy song. You can sing along. You won't mind the road up ahead. Might be a rocky one, but we'll get it done. And we'll roll her in the coaster and shine in the sun. Well, I know, you can tiptoe, everywhere you go, where you can laugh and stomp and dance and sing and go out where those wild things are. And you can sing this happy song, you can sing along, you won't mind the road up ahead. Why, it's a lovely one, and until it's done, we'll just roll her in the coaster and shine in the sun. Oh my, my, you can try, try to be all cool and subtle, but I recommend rain boots, snow suits, big hills and puddles, and lots of cuddles. So you can sing this happy song, you can sing along, you won't mind the road up ahead. Might be a rocky one, but we'll get it done, and we'll roll her in the coaster and shine in the sun. When it rains, you can stay inside in your PJs and your slippers, or you can call up a friend, say, let's go get wet in our raincoats and our flippers. We'll tell the whole wide world about this happy song, you can sing along, you won't mind the road up ahead. Might be a rocky one, but we'll get it done, and we'll roll her in the coaster and shine in the sun to this happy song. You can sing along, you won't mind the road up ahead. Why, it's a lovely one, and until it's done, we'll just roll her in the coaster and shine in the sun.
All right, you are still listening to FM 90.1, KCFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. This is your groovy Grandma Sandy. Peanut Butter Jelly Time is made possible by the generous contributions of KZVAR supporters and by The Printed Image, specializing in custom screen printing and embroidery in Chico since 1980. Using the latest technology in their state-of-the-art building, The Printed Image provides custom screen printing, embroidery, apparel, and promotional products for business, organization, or special events, with dedicated specialists providing quality service, quick turnaround, and memorable products. Call 898-9525 or visit printedimagechico.com. Well, I'm going to keep playing music, and we're just having a really good time here. Jan is going to be sitting in for Terry today, and yeah, I'm having fun playing this music, so thanks for tuning in. Let's see what we got.
Cheer up, cheer up.
Haven't heard that song in a long time. Okay, this one here's a party rock anthem from Kidz Bop CD. Here we go.
Every day I'm shuffling.
Around you, the cows and chickens are going to the dickens.
I love you, a bushel and a pack.
a bushel and a peck, a bushel and a peck, and a hug around the neck, hug around the neck, and a barrel and a heap, barrel and a heap, and I'm talking in my sleep about you.
That's another fun oldie but a goodie. That's from an album called Sing Along with Putumayo. And this is Putumayo Kids Presents. These are like some folk songs and whatnot. I have a bunch of these collections, different styles, different cultures. I'm going to play, it's my last song, and it's a song called Happy by Jenny Gionsi. I can't read very well, this little tiny iPod thingy. But thanks for tuning in, and thanks so much for your the pledge drive. We still have a couple books left over from PB&J, but we'll save it for fall pledge drive. But wow, we exceeded our goal. Thank you so much for your donations. Okay, here we go. And what are we getting? Okay, let's try this.
For a little while, when I glow, when I know that what you reap is what you sow, I feel happy, 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 happy,
happy,
happy, happy, happy,
happy,
happy, happy me. I feel happy. When I fly, when I feel, when I cry, when I live the life I want to live, when I take a little less than I give, I feel happy, 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 happy me. I feel happy. Four, I like it so much, I'll do it some more. When I play, when I say a loving word to someone every day, when I dance the way I want to dance, when I step out of the box, take a chance.
Squeaky. And yeah, that's it for us. So it's time for the campfire updates, then the events, and it'll be Face of Music, and we got some stuff lined up for you. Gianna's here. So thanks again for tuning in. Thanks so much for your support for our spring pledge drive. Here we go. Oops, gotta press the right button though. That one.
You're listening to KZFR 90.1 FM and KZFR.org. Time for another campfire recovery update. I am Matt Fidler.